I want to say good evening this evening. Welcome to our Mission Sunday evening presentation. We have with us here this evening Brother Brian Warner from Grace Press. And I'll let him give more introduction if he wishes. He has asked to read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. And while we're looking that up, I'll give a kind of an order of service here this evening. After prayer, Brian will get up and give it his presentation. Then we'll have an offering after his presentation. And make checks payable to Pleasant Hill Brethren, please. And then we'll have closing remarks and a prayer or a song for dismissal. We're excited to hear what Brian has for us here this evening and what he's involved in with Grace Press. Reading now from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. If there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. With the words on our mind, let's kneel as we pray.
Good evening to each one. The scripture said that every knee shall bow. And what a blessing we had as we kneeled in prayer together to voluntarily kneel before the Lord Jesus. I asked Philippians 2 to be read there this evening because it happens to be one of my favorite chapters. As a matter of fact, the entire book of Philippians is a favorite of mine. And just as a little sidebar in your personal Bible study, I timed myself one time. You can read the entire book of Philippians in 9 minutes. And there's a lot of powerful verses in there, and I think God's people should read it often. Here in chapter 2, verses 6 through 9, I think the Apostle Paul gives the Philippian church a clear picture of the plan of salvation, who Jesus, being in the form of God, and I like the way he says that there, clearly gives Jesus the divinity that he deserves. Jesus was God, with God in heaven, and he humbled himself and came to earth and took on the form of a man, suffered the death of the cross. And because of that, he is our Lord, and we exalt him and we bow our knee to him. Verse 15 says there that we shine as lights in the world. And that also brought my attention to that verse, thinking about shining as lights in the world. Thinking about missions, Jesus talked about being lights in the world in that wonderful sermon that he gave us in Matthew 5. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So I'm thankful that your church group here this evening has laid out a Sunday as Mission Sunday. And the thought came to me, I know this isn't Sunday school class, but I would enjoy having a discussion and hearing from you just just what is the mission of your church? If we would say, what is the mission of Pleasant Hill Brethren Church? It would probably be good to bring that in focus. But I'm sure one of the things that would come up would that your mission would be what Jesus laid out in his parting words as he left in the final verse, the closing verse of the Gospel of Matthew. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We know that is the Great Commission. So it's not just mission, it is a co-mission, which means it's the mission of the church. We cooperate in that effort. We work together to go and to teach them to observe. As you think about missions and you think about the world, you know, it was interesting for me driving down here from Huntingdon County. Oh, I wanted to add also there at the beginning that my wife and I are members at Metagreen Mennonite Church in Huntingdon County. That would be in the Raystown Lake area, and we often get visitors in the summertime of folks that are up that way camping or doing something. So if you find yourself in Huntingdon County and needing a church to worship at on a Sunday morning, why, come visit us at Meadow Green. But I was raised in this area and went to Dover High School, and so it was kind of always feel like I'm coming home when I get back into York County. And as my wife and I were traveling down Route 194, and the thought came back to me as a little boy, when we would be somewhere in Dover and we thought we were going to Hanover, that was like a big trip. You know, it was kind of like, felt like that was a world view to go to Hanover. Well, life changes, doesn't it? But what, when you think of the world this evening, what is your worldview? We hear that term from time to time. And certainly a very foundational part of that worldview would be these three thoughts. And I like to think about these simple things. God made the world. Of course, we know the verse in Genesis 1:1 in the beginning. God owns the world, Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And of course, that favorite verse of many, John 3:16. God loves the world. He made it, he owns it, and he loves it. In fact, we know that he holds the whole world in his hands. He sustains life. He sustains the seasons and all the good things that we enjoy. Colossians 1:16, all things were created by him and for him. So very truthfully, he's the reason that I am here tonight. So I serve on the board at Grace Press, and we're going to kind of focus on the work of Grace Press here this evening. And I thought I'd start out by giving you some thoughts on the beginnings of Grace Press, the world event that kind of led to some vision that some brothers received was the fall of the Soviet Union. It presented a great opportunity to share the gospel message with Eastern Europe. So some men with visionary perspective formed a board, and Grace Press was born on February 16th, 1989. The first board meeting was held, with the vision being to clearly proclaim the full gospel to the lost, the thought of evangelism, the thought of discipleship to encourage sincere born-again Christians, and the thought of strengthening the church around the globe. The method for doing that was by publishing literature in various languages, the specific focus on the new opening that was created by the fall of the Soviet Union in Eastern Europe, Asia, and Middle Eastern languages. Also to create a teaching ministry, conferences, preaching, one-on-one fellowship. Often that part of our method is brought on by the literature work. People respond to literature, and then they want to know how to do this. And we hold conferences and ministry. We do preaching and follow-up with the folks. And then a small amount of humanitarian aid is also part of our work. Our motto, which for some reason that slide's not coming up for me, and the gospel must first be published among all nations, Mark 13:10. There we got it. So this picture is a slide of the iconic communism Berlin Wall. That wall separated East and West Germany. The death strip that is on the left there, anyone entering into that death strip was immediately shot. It was the dividing line between communism and democracy. In November of 1989, the Berlin Wall came down. Communism was a political system that was a failure. East Germans climbed the wall and were met and celebrated with West Germans. The Iron Curtain was falling. What could Christians do to reach these new people that were now available for the gospel message after being oppressed for so many years? Well, this was the vision of the Grace Press board that was formed. Grace Press had a humble beginnings in an abandoned chicken house here in Effort of PA, was remodeled. There was an office built, a bookstore, and some very primitive printing equipment was purchased to print Bibles in the Russian language. To take us up to where our facility is today in Ephrata, the Lord has blessed the work very greatly. Our donors have blessed us with finances, and we've been able to update our printing equipment. This is a color printing press in our facility today. A lot of the printing equipment is very expensive, and again, we've been blessed. These rolls of paper here, I'm told, have 10 miles of paper in one roll. A lot of work and effort goes into printing the literature, getting the final piece ready for distribution. And of course, then when it's finally ready for distribution, it has to get to its point of contact. Much of that is done through containers being shipped across the ocean. Over the years, and again with changing of times, we found that a lot of our literature is actually better stewardship to have it printed at its point of destination. So we develop relationships with people over on the other side of the ocean, and we have established many printing presses in Eastern Europe, and it's often cheaper, and we find we can still get good quality literature printed overseas. So why literature? Well, I wanted to answer that question because in my own mind, what part does literature have to do in mission? And the thought came to me how God has chosen to speak to us through a piece of literature, through his written word, the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're all familiar with that introduction to the Gospel of John and how metaphorically, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John calls Jesus the Word. We know that words form our thoughts in our mind, and God has chosen to speak to us through his Word. So truly we can say that gospel literature equals spreading of the Word. Here we have some picture of some boys in Estonia studying the Word with literature that they received from Grace Press, getting into their Word, filling their minds with the Word. This girl is putting seeds of truth into her mind. I think this picture from this girl is also from Estonia. Seeds of truth being spread through neighborhood evangelism. Here in Russia, a Christian is handing a piece of literature across the fence to his neighbors. In Siberia, native Nenet peoples received the gospel message. This was quite a trip to take this literature into these people, but it was received with joy. This little girl in Pakistan is happy with her Bible storybook. We just recently started to do an extensive work in Pakistan. This little boy is in Poland. He's looking through a book that he received from Grace Press in a literature package delivered to his home. Here you can see a picture of seed meetings that we hold in Ukraine, where the Ukrainian people, we distribute seeds to plant in their garden, and also they receive gospel literature at these meetings. Here's a Christian man giving a piece of literature to a man he met in the streets in Kazakhstan. This little girl is pretty happy about receiving her preschool books. These Azerbaijani boys are excited with their Bible storybooks that they received, 25 Bible stories in their native language. And then there's this little boy. He hasn't received a piece of literature yet. And we're wondering who's going to tell him about Jesus. How will he hear about Jesus? Grace Press operates in over 20 countries. As I said, we focus on the Eastern Europe area and Asia and into the Middle East, and it seems like the requests and the contacts keep growing. But tonight I'd like to, I surely don't have time to talk about all the countries. I'd like to spotlight a little bit three countries that have been of particular interest to us: Russia, Ukraine, and the Republic of Georgia. Of course, Russia's in the news, has always been in the news. Geographically, Russia is by far the largest country in the world. It's over twice as big as the second largest country, which is Canada. Actually, there's more square miles in Russia than in Canada and United States put together. Over 6 months of the year, half of Russia is covered with snow. So from the beginnings of Grace Press, the Russian language and Russia itself was one of our primary focuses. That has changed some over the years, but it's still a very important country to us. At times, it's difficult to get literature into Russia. Currently, Russia is closed because of the war. And it's amazing how God works, because we weren't really sure what was going to happen in Russia. But I just received word that we are putting more literature into Russia now than we were before the war. And we're using that with Russian printers that are in Russia that we have been able to make contact with. This slide would say that last year we put over 500,000 pieces of Christian literature into Russia. This is the Russian language in script. That particular piece is called Seed of Truth. It's a magazine type structure with good Christian articles in it. We translate that into many languages and distribute it. This one is in Russian. Well, in order to do literature work in countries, you need to form relationships. You need to build trust with people, because you need people within the country that are going to be willing to distribute the literature. And oftentimes we're working with printers and translators, and the translations has to be proofread and make sure that it says what we want it to say. So these relationships are very important. This particular slide is a group of men that we were meeting with, Russian men. We were going to talk about literature work in Russia. This particular meeting was in the capital of the Republic of Georgia, in Tbilisi, and the Russian men came down to meet us there. This slide is particularly of great interest to me because it clearly depicts the two kingdom principle, because at this point in time, Ukraine and Russia were in a very sad situation of war and killing each other. And these two brothers here, the one on the left is a Ukrainian man who was traveling with me to be my Russian translator. And the one on the right is Felix, and he is a Russian minister. And we can see how God's kingdom works in opposition to the world's kingdom. These two brothers were peacefully deciding how to advance the kingdom of God. That picture is dear to me. This is also another picture from that meeting. The young man on the right is Jeremy Mast from Virginia. He helps us out at Grace Press, and he traveled along with me. The young man on the left is a Russian young believer that was Jeremy's age, and they formed a friendship, and they actually enjoyed each other's company. We traveled in vehicles for quite some time that day, and I enjoyed listening to him. This boy was fluent in English, and he asked Jeremy about every question you could think of, anything from how do you become a minister to how you find a girlfriend. And Jeremy is neither a minister nor does he have a girlfriend, but he answered all the questions very well. So this was a drive that we took after that meeting. That's myself, Minister Felix, and Jeremy. And that beautiful mountain in the background, believe it or not, is the border between the Republic of Georgia and Russia. We're right on the border there. I asked Felix what would happen if I'd try to go into Russia, because I had quite a few Ukrainian marks in my passport. He said, oh, they'd let you in no problem. That was translated to me. But then later on, Sergei, my Ukrainian friend, he said, I don't believe him. I think you would have a problem. So I don't know exactly. We didn't try that. This is the youth group from Felix's church. And of course, we think of Russia as a mission field. Of course, the mission field is large. But what was interesting to me is But this group of youth here was embarking on a mission trip. They were going down to Turkey to do mission work in Turkey. So let's not just think that we are the only missionaries in the world. There are a lot of Christians in Russia, a lot of Bible-believing, practicing Christians. Pray for the many faithful Christians in Russia. Then moving on to Ukraine. Ukraine's a beautiful country. Of course, being a farmer, every time I'm there, I'm impressed with that deep black soil, the breadbasket of Europe. But unfortunately for Ukraine, it has had a long history of Soviet suppression. I don't have time to go into that in great detail, but I will mention this. Under Joseph Stalin, in order to buckle Ukraine under them in the 1930s, it's called the Red Famine. And it's not well documented in the history, not nearly as much as the Holocaust, but it's stated in history that about 30 million Ukrainians starved to death in the 1930s. And how ironic is that in one of the most productive, fertile farmland countries of the world, but Stalin went in there and stole all their food and people died. There's accounts of people trying to eat grass to live, and it's really sad. But it's a long history of suppression, and the people feel that today. 40 million pre-war population, so it was a formidable country. It's one of the larger countries in Europe. It's about the size of the state of Texas. Many Bible-believing Christians. And in 1991, that was their Declaration of Independence. That was July 4th for Ukraine. They've got freedom from the now fallen Soviet Union. From 1991 up until February of 22, Ukraine operated as a free country and was developing very rapidly. Their economy and a lot of things in Ukraine were moving in a positive direction. And as you all well know, in February of 22, Russia invaded Ukraine. If you look at a map of Ukraine, just to give you a little geography of it and understand where it's placed there in Europe, directly to the north of Ukraine is Belarus. Belarus is in confederation with Russia. And then as you would travel around, you would see there the Russian border. And today, this is where most of the fighting is, on that borderline right there. And then if you would continue to travel around clockwise, the Black Sea, which gave Ukraine its ports for export of grain, and then come around Moldova, Romania, Hungary, Slovakia, and Poland. The interesting thing about Europe, when you think about that a state, a country there the size of Texas, as you would travel around it, you would actually have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 languages. So it's interesting, you know, we often think of how successful the United States is. One of the things that we're blessed with is that when we cross down into Maryland, we don't have to speak a different language. It also has a big impact on mission work. Now, when the Soviet Union was in place, all those Soviet Republic countries were required to speak Russian. So it was easier to do mission work under the guise of Russian in all those Soviet republics. But immediately upon falling apart, those countries, as they become autonomous, like Ukraine, Georgia, Bulgaria, they wanted to speak their native language. And you did not want to give them a Bible in Russian. They no longer wanted a Russian Bible. The Ukrainian people want a Bible in Ukrainian. It's a very beautiful country. It's enjoyable to see its productivity. A wide and diverse agriculture. Of course, just like here in America, agriculture is changing. Of course, there's the effort or the thrust of bigger farms and more corporate farming. But when you get out into the villages, you still see scenes like this. Oftentimes in a small village, the village cows will all go out to pasture together. Someone will take them out to pasture. And on the way back in the evening, as the cows are brought down the road, two will go into this gate and two will go into that gate, and they know which way to go, and they get their evening milk and then run back out to the field again. Ukraine has always been a pivotal point for Grace Press. Even when prior to the war, we used Ukraine as a point of reference where our literature would go out into Russia and their surrounding countries. And of course, when they were at peace, that was easy to do. So about 5 years ago, we set up and invested in some printing equipment in Ukraine, and that was going quite well. The Ukrainian believers there, it provided some of those young men with unemployment, and it gave us a place to print literature right in Eastern Europe. A good bit of that literature was starting to go out, and the printing press was working well. This particular piece is called The Anabaptists. Who are they? This one's called God's Miracle, Me, children's book. This is our warehouse that we have in the capital of Ukraine, Kiev. We have a good bit of storage there. This is our warehouse manager. His name's Sergei Mikitella. He is a dear friend of mine, and he is a good brother. This is a picture of Sergei's family, and we've enjoyed many visits with them in their home and Ukrainian meals and times of fellowship with his family and his children. These are some Ukrainian sisters working on a comforter. This is the school in Kiev, Christian Day School for the church that's there. This is the youth group of the church, the Ukrainian church in Kiev. The church was prospering and growing. This is the man on the left there is a good friend of mine and a brother at our church. Actually, he's our bishop, Dwight Durstein. He's preaching there, and it's being translated into Ukrainian. Then one day, everything changed. We were in Ukraine right before Russia invaded, and we actually got out right before the invasion. But when the Russians invaded Ukraine, my own personal opinion was that it probably won't take long and Ukraine won't be anymore. And I heard via the news back here in Pennsylvania that Kiev got bombed that night, and I thought, well, it'll probably be all over. Surprising to me, and I guess in God's mercy, the Russians were not able to take over. They were driven out of Kiev, driven out of the central part of Ukraine, and now the war has carried on for 4 years, and these two groups of people have just continued to pummel each other, and it's a sad, sad story. There's no winners in war. Well, at Grace Press, it changed everything that we did, because now the inlets into Russia changed. We could no longer fly into Ukraine. We had to fly into a bordering country and drive in. A lot of our staff left the country. So as a board, we needed a response to the war. And we sat in a board meeting, and we really didn't know what we were coming up with. But we came up with an idea of a food packaging literature distribution project. We had some people on the ground in Ukraine. We were able to rent a warehouse in Skovira. And we came up and formulated the idea of what we called a team. A team consisted of four young men youth, four sisters in the youth age, a set of house parents, and a ministerial team. We had 12 to a team. We started with our first team in May of 22, packaging food products and putting in gospel literature with a tape on it that says, God loves you. And since May 22 and through this month, that project has never ceased. We've been able to do that every month. We've been sending young people from North America over there. 1 year I was responsible for recruiting those young people, and you think it would be a difficult task. I did have some mothers call and ask me if it was safe. But the blessing was when the young people would go over and serve for a month, and many of them would be home for about 2 weeks, they'd call me up and said, when can I go again? Well, of course, packaging the boxes is one thing. We'd package about 20,000 boxes a month, and then it was a big job to distribute them. There were about 400,000 people immediately displaced from their homes when the war started, and we've been distributing these boxes all around Ukraine and using various churches and contacts. Sometimes the boxes go right into the front lines. The cost of that project for the literature alone that we put in those boxes is about $70,000 a month. Then if we consider the transportation of the youth, the food parcels that go into the package, the project has been costing close to $200,000 a month for 4 years. So it's always been amazing. From the beginning, some people ask me, how long would you plan to do something like this? And we said, well, there's three variables. Number one, as long as there's a need. Number two, as long as there's people to go. And number three, as long as there's money. So far, none of those three has run out. So we praise God for that. It's really a blessing. We also include coloring books and some things to cheer up the little children. Last year alone, there were 3.2 million pieces of gospel literature distributed in Ukraine. God's word says it will not return void. And this couple here is an amazing story. I wish he would be here to tell it. It'd be much better. Every one of those boxes has a little piece of paper in it that if you're struggling and need help, with a phone number to call. The phone number will ring on this man's cell phone. This is Sergei. Sergei is a man that was my age. He's a Ukrainian man. He was raised under the Soviet Union. He lived a bitter life. He was oppressed by the Soviet Union. He became an alcoholic. He was rough to his wife, lived an immoral life. And one day he met Jesus. It changed his life. And today he's a member of the Mennonite Church there in Kiev. And when his phone rings, he tells people about Jesus and he talks over their struggles with them and it gives them a personal contact. If you would hear his testimony of how he became a Christian, when Russian people talk, you kind of feel like they're yelling at you. And when Sergei tells his story, he gets pretty emphatic about it. But after a while, you'll see his tears just rolling down his cheeks. His wife is also a very, very beautiful sister. Here's another Ukrainian that's a good friend of mine. I'd like to tell you a little bit about him. This is Yasha Zuba. Yasha's a full-time employee of Grace Press. He translates. He's fluent in English, Ukrainian, and Russian. He was ordained deacon at the church in Krivoshensky. When the war started, his wife had been planned to go into Kiev to deliver a baby. She was very close to the baby's birth. Yasha did not want to be recruited for the war, so his wife, full with child, and he fled to Romania. And this little baby boy was born 2 days after they crossed the line into Romania. Yasha lived in Romania for a while. He then moved to Ephrata. We had a space for him in Ephrata where he could work on translating. We're working on school curriculum in Russian. He lived with us there for a while until his paperwork no longer allowed him to be in the U.S., and now he's living in Canada. These are displaced people. Yasha would like to return to Ukraine. Whether that little boy will ever see his homeland where his parents are raised or not, we don't know. Only God knows that. So again, I'd ask you to pray for the people in Ukraine. The Republic of Georgia was another former republic of the Soviet Union. It's home to 8 million people. It could be called a Christian nation. About 85% of the people would follow the Greek Orthodox Church, which I visited those churches. They have great need of doctrinal improvement. But because of it being a Christian nation, we are free to openly print and distribute literature in Georgia, which is a real blessing to us. This is kind of a graphic map, but you see Georgia there. And that picture that I had showed you of the mountains, I said it was on the border. We were in that region right there. Tbilisi, the capital and the biggest city in Georgia, would be located central. And then the neighbors for Georgia would be Russia, Azerbaijan, Armenia, and Turkey, and then the Black Sea. Georgia has a beautiful coast there along the Black Sea. We're going to start in a fairly large city called Batumi, which is right close to the Turkish border. This is a picture of the Black Sea. The hills that you're looking at in the background are Turkey. This is actually a border crossing point right here. The picture's taken in the Republic of Georgia. We have been working in Georgia for many years. And we had a group of folks that we were working with. And again, in that effort to try to have literature printed at its point of destination, we invested in some printing equipment and got it set up in Georgia in the city of Batumi. This is an interesting picture because this is Sandro. He's in charge of our print shop there, and he can't speak any English, but we got to talking through a translator, and we found out the interesting fact that we were both born in 1959. So I'm not sure why he looks so much older than me, but that, I guess we age different here. But anyway, the interesting part of that story is that Sandro was raised in a Christian family in the Republic of Georgia when it was under the Soviet times, and they were under a lot of suppression and oppression. Meanwhile, I was raised here in Freedom in Pennsylvania. This is the church there in Batumi, where Sandro actually now serves as a bishop. This is a piece of literature. Very popular is for us to produce calendars with scripture calendars. And you can see the Georgian language. It's a kind of a beautiful language to look at. One of the things that developed in Georgia that we saw as an opportunity, this was a news headline: Ukraine war leads to traffic jams in Georgia. International transport routes through Ukraine and Russia have been disrupted. Of course, there was a lot of commerce between Ukraine and Russia. So Georgia has become a popular alternative. You remember that map, Georgia butts up against Russia there, and Russia was needing of inputs, particularly from Turkey and from the Middle East. Georgia did not have the infrastructure for their roads to handle this, and it created massive truck problems. And these truckers would end up being jammed up. There were truckers that maybe had diabetes or something, and they would run out of medication. They were actually dying. It was cold in the winter. They couldn't pass through. And we used that as an opportunity. Here's a line of trucks that's trying to get into Turkey. We used that as an opportunity. We took some teams into Georgia. We spent some time there, and we had literature printed in 12 different languages, because in the short trip that I was there one time, we counted trucks with license plates from 20 different countries going through Georgia. And we'd take time to speak with the truckers. It seemed like a lot of times they were in truck stops and they had to spend a couple days there because the routes were closed. A lot of Muslim men were open to talking about Jesus there, where they wouldn't have been able to do that for fear of danger in their home country. Now, as we travel across Georgia, it really changes from the west side there in Batumi. If you go over to the east side, you get, again, the glimpse of the Caucasus Mountains, which are really beautiful, very deep, fertile farmland. This is a little church called Lagodeci, where we have members working there, and our churches here in Michigan and Utah have sent some families to live there. This is a Georgian couple that we got to know that attends the church there. They also are a real blessing. Her name is Marika, and he is Malkazi. Malkazi is another man that was an alcoholic, and he told me how he was delivered from that. He's also a very energetic and emphatic Christian man. Here Marika is in our outdoor kitchen making us a Georgian meal, and then we enjoyed sharing the meal together inside. Malkazi's way of making a living, he raises pullets. So he raises these, he hatches out peeps, and when they're ready to start laying, then he sells pullets to his neighbors. They live in a village called Lagodeci, and that is where our church is there. This is the little school that's operated in Lagodeci. Here's the school teacher teaching some of the children in their Christian day school in the Republic of Georgia. So we're thinking about Eastern Europe, and to help you realize some of the challenges we face to distribute now that the Soviet Union has split apart, we need to translate into Bulgarian, Serbian, Hungarian, Albanian, Polish, Romanian, Georgian, Belarusian. Translation becomes a very big deal in today's world. It's expensive. It has to be done properly and accurately. It takes a lot of editing, a lot of time and effort. Here is Love Your Enemies, translated into Albanian. This is Bulgarian literature. Bulgaria is one of our biggest countries of operation. Here's a church in Belarus that we work to distribute literature through. In 2025, we printed 30,000 Belarusian Bibles. This is literature in Hungary. And here is a dear brother by the name of Peter, who runs the printing press, and he was imprisoned by the Soviet Union. He's been involved in gospel literature all of his life. He would like us to translate The Martyr's Mirror into Hungarian. That would be a big project. This is Serbian literature. Love your enemies, and 25 Bible stories in Serbian. We started to do some work in Serbia, and we published in Grace Press the potential need for a church there. And an Anabaptist group from Kentucky responded. They sent some people over there. This young Serbian man now has a Bible practicing church in his community, and we're thankful for that. He's part of the Greek Orthodox Church, and he considers himself a Christian. He's a fine young man, but he needs a lot of discipleship. The Caucasus region, again, is an area of translation. We already talked about Georgia, and I don't have time to spend it, but that region is defined geographically to include Armenia and Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan, unlike Georgia, is a Muslim nation. Probably 90% of the people are Muslim. It's very difficult operation there. I found this picture interesting. I don't think the slide's very good. But leaving Georgia, a so-called Christian nation, to go into Azerbaijan, there's some thing there. It says you're about to go into Azerbaijan, but then in English it says good luck. So they obviously don't have real high, hold each other in high esteem. Central Asia is another very challenging area where we're finding doors open. And of course, these are the Stan countries, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan. This is an area where Christians are under severe persecution. This picture was sent to us. This is a church being torn down by a government order. The Middle East, of course, we know that to be the Bible land. We know of the unrest in the Middle East. We do a good bit of work in Turkey and Syria. And actually, it's not something that we talk about a great deal, but we do a good bit of work in Iran. And even though Iran is probably 99% Muslim, the Christians that are in Iran are true Christians. And we relate to some of the men there that are in leadership. And in order to relate to them, if we have conferences or teaching, they have to come out of the country. They would get a visa or something to say they're going on vacation into Turkey or Tbilisi. And then we disciple them and they go back in, and with the idea that if they're discovered, you're going to have their head cut off. This is an interesting couple, and I wanted to share a word about them because this is only an unlikely union that only God could create. Hamid is Iranian. He was raised as a Muslim. He became a believer. And next to him stands his wife, Kanuko. She's from Japan, and she was raised as a Buddhist. So can you imagine that? An Iranian Muslim and a Japanese Buddhist, and he's about 6'4", and she's about 5'1". So they make quite a team. But another interesting part about this picture, I took this picture. This is taken in Athens, Greece, and the picture is actually taken on Mars Hill. And if you'd read in Acts 17, where Apostle Paul was preaching to those that worship the unknown God, and in that passage, I think it's in verse 23, Paul says, "I declare unto you Jesus Christ." And that really is the work of missions. We declare unto people Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. This is Hamid and Kanuko in their home. They were particularly working in their home, running a house church for Syrian refugees who were coming across the Aegean Sea there to get away from the influence of ISIS. Kanuko has a very outgoing personality. These are Syrian ladies that seem to gravitate towards her. She can speak in 5 different languages. I guess I'd add this in yet about Kanuko. It's kind of an interesting story. I wish she could be here to tell you. She was raised as a Buddhist by parents in Japan. She was an only child. Her father was a heart surgeon. Education is very important to the Japanese. They sent her into South Korea for college, where she was studying. And she tells a story that one day she was walking through a hall somewhere to go to class, and she saw a little piece of literature. This was unprofessional literature. It was just printed on a piece of paper in hand. It was pinned up to the wall, and it said, "I will read the Bible with you." And it had a phone number on it. And she said she wasn't sure why she did it, but she took a paper and pencil out and she wrote the number down. And that lady that wrote that piece of literature led Kanuko to the Lord. Who would ever know that she'd end up in Greece, married to an ex-Muslim, ministering to Syrian refugees? I'm sure we recognize that that's a God thing. North Africa is an area that is developing for Grace Press. It seems like we get more and more requests to take literature and work into North Africa. Of course, that would be Egypt and Morocco and Algeria and Libya and Liberia. I threw this picture in there because I wanted to mention that you probably are well aware that that wasn't taken in the square of Dover. When you travel the world, cultures change. The way people do things, the way they live, that is part of culture. And as you travel, sometimes you have to try to understand the culture of the people and what it means to them, what things are important to them, what things need to change, what things do not need to change. But I would like to throw this in, that God's word works in any culture. It is not culture specific. And you know, we're here in America, and sometimes I think maybe we think that God's word is red, white, and blue, and really that's not true. God's word works in any culture. Maybe we could say it's red and white, and that though their sins be as red as scarlet, we washed as white as snow. So as we relate to cultures, we try to understand what things are important to them that do not need to change, but we also have to be very clear that we cannot compromise God's word. And it will work in any culture. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, temperance, kindness, gentleness, family values, marriage, stewardship, those things, they work in any culture. So we have a newsletter that we print at Grace Press, and it's available for you to, if you would like to have it mailed out on the outside exit there. There's a paper I have down for you to sign. Put your name and address on it. You'll be on our mailing list. This was our June newsletter. I'm going to read something real quickly here to you. I think it kind of epitomizes the work of Grace Press. The article is Bibles for Kazakhstan. I want to share a testimony about how one sister received a Bible. When I sent a message to notify the church members that the Bibles had arrived, one sister called me. She is a new believer. Her name is Zoya. She recently repented and earnestly asked me to set aside a Bible for her. She said, "Neither I nor my children have a Bible. I only recently repented. You know me, we've talked before, but I really, really want to get a Bible." I said, "All right, sister, I'll leave one for you." She was so worried that she wouldn't get a Bible that she even said she wanted to pay for it. She asked, "Please leave one for me. I can send you money." I replied, "You don't need to send money. You don't need to pay anything. The Bibles are free." I left two Bibles. The sister was very grateful because she had never had a complete Bible before. She said, "I've had the gospel in small booklets, but I've never had a complete Bible." She thanked the Lord that she was able to receive a Bible. Praise the Lord, brothers, that there are people who donate, print, transport, distribute, and deliver. Therefore, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that people can receive the word of God. Praise God. Written to us from our contact in Kazakhstan. Jesus saith unto them, "Lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." The harvest is there. Lord, send reapers. So I thank you for your attention, and I appreciate being invited here. I will say this also. I didn't have enough of these available for everyone, but I would like you to take them until they're gone. If you can grab one, if you'd like to have them. This is one of our pieces. It's called What Every Person Needs to Know. What do we need to know? Who is God? What is sin? What can I do to be saved? This is a nice little booklet with pictures in it. We have this translated into 12 different languages, and it's one that we distribute pretty heavily. Feel free to take one. If you want more, you can contact Grace Press. Thank you.